I'm Stephen Ibaraki, and I'm conducting an exclusive interview with Matthias Obrecht, top international leader and innovator, CIO of Audi, and winner of the 2015 CIO Net, CIO City, European Union CIO of the Year. Now, Matthias, you just have an incredible history of success and so many outstanding contributions. We are really privileged, and thank you for coming in today to share so much of your expertise and insights and wisdom with our audience.
It's a pleasure to talk to you, Stephen.
Now, Matthias, what specific attributes produce the European Union CIO of the Year?
Stephen, for me, in the digital area, interdisciplinary collaboration is the key to success. The best ideas for active shaping of rapid transformation are created in teams. Only through efficient collaboration between different divisions within Audi and within the Volkswagen Group, we are able to be successful. The IT department is well connected to all business areas and supports the business needs. We see ourselves as an enabler. I think this is very important. So if you look, for example, within our cars and the digital platforms that we created for our cars, you can see a lot of those information or solutions that we created within these collaborative teams. The digital platforms are the prerequisite for the further development of our products and a consistent customer experience. As the IT department, we offer digital platforms to our customer IT systems as well as to our car IT systems. With these digital platforms, we can easily offer new functions to our customers, and we can integrate well into our sales systems landscape, and we are supporting our business area as well international. I think this is a very important thing, that we are interdisciplinary collaboration with those business areas.
Now, Matthias, at the European Union CIO of the Year Awards, I chaired the session where you shared many of your insights, and I did ask a question about machine learning or deep learning. So in what specific ways will machine learning and deep learning progress your industry, and especially with the great sort of interesting answer that you provided at this summit?
Yeah, machine learning is a very important thing, especially in the future. So if you look, for example, for pilot driving that we already showed on the CES 2015, we drove with the car Jack, it's called Jack, and this car drove from the Silicon Valley in California to Las Vegas. It was a 560 miles journey. And for us, this is a little bit the beginning of machine learning that is depending, it's a very crucial thing for our cars. But as well, of course, we use machine learning as well in our production sites. If we look for Smart Factory, that is our, let's say, program name for the digitization of all the production processes, we use machine learning and, data analytics to prevent any failures. That means to look for preventive maintenance and where we can learn with the data to avoid any failure and as well any quality issue that would affect our cars.
So what specific future technologies will impact your industry and what ways in 5 years?
Yeah, beneath what we just talked about, machine learning, we believe the Internet of Things will be a very important thing. We already showed on the CES, for example, any communication between the car and, for example, variables. There will be biometrics as well in the future within the car. So this Internet of Things will connect a lot with the car. You can believe that the Smart Home initiative will have a connection as well to the car, so we are doing a lot of that. And as well, if you look within the car, we will have beneath the machine learning as well the speech control. If right now we have a lot of knobs and buttons in the car to have this a machine interface, and in the future there will be even more things done with speech control in the car. And of course, we will improve simplify of the car design in this interface as well.
You know, that's just fascinating, the impact future technologies will have, and you give a really interesting insights into that. How is manufacturing being transformed in the next 5 years, and especially with Audi being such a global leader?
Well, yeah, we believe, especially in manufacturing, we will see a lot of changes. We did already in the past a lot of, things within the production process to improve the efficiency and to improve as well the quality of the cars. For example, we implemented a new platform system that is integrating all the information from the manufacturing steering to quality as well to logistics, so that we are able to improve the processes that is delivering a car that is very special designed for the customer. And we believe that with such platforms, we can increase as well the time that is needed to produce a very specific, customer-specific car in the future and be even more efficient with all the systems that we are needed in this factory. One very important thing is as well that we use more and more robotic assistance as well in the smart factory, and that we need, of course, this interface as well to get this robotic assistance to get the right information to all the roboters that we are using. Another thing is that we are using step-by-step even more virtual reality and augmented reality as well to support our people in the production side. And this is a very big step in the future as well.
You know, I was really intrigued at the CIO summit because you talked about this joint company you formed with the marketing organization, and really this is a model for the future collaboration. Can you go more into details about that?
Yes, as I said, I think that interdisciplinary teams are very crucial for the success in the future, especially to create innovation as well on the technology part as well on the business part. And so we decided to create a company located in Munich together with our colleagues from sales and marketing and we from IT to bring teams together that are really focused on creating new technology or new solutions for our customers based on new technology that you know from digitization. So we are doing everything on a mobile platform to bring mobility solutions to our customers.
You know, that's really intriguing. It almost sounds like an X-Labs, sort of a futuristic innovation center that will drive beneficial changes in the entire industry. So just fascinating what you've done. And in fact, it's one of the reasons you won the European Union CIO of the Year award. Now, what are up to 5 new business models where the IT organization is the foundation driving innovation and new revenue?
Yeah, well, especially if you look in the past, we just sold cars or we leased cars. So we are looking for new business models to support mobility for our customers. So if you look on this mobility part, we have different solutions. For example, we have Audi On Demand that is right now available in San Francisco and where the customer can choose from an exclusive Audi fleet, a car that he would like to use, like a Q7 or an R8 or an S7, for example. And you have there a concierge that will personally deliver and pick up the Audi On Demand vehicle without any additional costs. And everything that is done there, reserve, unlock, and enable the driving, is done by your phone, for example, an iPhone. Everything is done by the IT system that is supporting that, and this is one example where we as IT really supported this solution. Another example is, we are supporting here in Europe Audi Select, where you can drive different cars by a fixed monthly rate, up to 3 different cars. So you could, for example, select a Q7 for the winter and a convertible in the summer. And the customers really like that, and we are doing everything by IT systems as well to support this model. And another thing is, for example, in Stockholm in Sweden, we have another mobility solutions. It's called Audi Unite, where friends, for example, can use a car together. And we are supporting those people to really share the costs that is driven by this car at a very justice collection of the costs, and bring the cost by the usage to the different users of this car. And so we are really supporting this sharing of cars that is used by many people.
Wow, those are just a fascinating innovations. And I guess it also ties into something like the caring or sharing economy and personalization, which is so increasingly widespread today. Now, what are the key lessons for other IT executives based on all of this innovation and leadership that you're showing globally?
Well, as we believe, it's very this team building that is very important, and that we have a flexible organization and a cooperation model with the business area that is really looking for the common objective, and use agile methodology to find the best IT solution. As we found out, it's not always possible for the business area to describe the total solution. So we are using, in a lot of projects, this agile methodology with Scrum, for example. And of course, you need the right people. So to build up a team that is really focusing on this common objective, you need the right employees with the right behavior and attitude to really focus on the objective, and that have as well the right competences on place to find the best solution.
Now, Matthias, you've had a remarkable career, and I'm sure you've had what we call roadblocks in the West or some challenges. So can you share any stories of impossible challenges you were able to master, or maybe some lessons from it?
Well, yeah, of course, if you stand for your own, it's sometimes impossible, but to really find a solution for impossible challenges, as you called, you need a very good team. This is, I think, the best way to find a solution. And I had some of those stories in my career. Last one was when I started here at Audi 3 years ago. We had a really challenge because we delivered this platform for the cars, and we have to adapt the, let's say, the car development cycle and the IT development cycle, because this was a totally different story. And we had a lot of discussions with our colleagues from R&D to find the best way how we can really have a conjunct development cycle, and we did that 2 years ago. It was a very smooth thing then, but at the starting point, we had a lot of discussions, and it was not that easy to find a common way. Before I came to Audi, I had a lot of other things on different production sites. For example, we bought a plant in Germany that was bankrupt before, and we had only 9 months to bring in all the Volkswagen standard systems to this plant. And this is a very short phase, only 9 months. But, well, the people that were at that plant, they know that they have right now a new job, they were so motivated that we did that in 9 months. That was a very interesting experience as well. And well, last point maybe, in Malaysia, we had a CKD production, so we just have the assembly of the cars there. And at the beginning of the project, we had so high costs that we need to halve the cost, or to reduce the cost by 50%. And well, with a lot of different discussions and approaches, we really achieved that, so that we could really reduce the cost by 50%. This was a very interesting thing as well.
You know, it's rare that the audience, who are primarily executives, by the way, have the ability to listen to the lessons learned from a world leader, which is you, and in fact demonstrated by winning the European Union CIO of the Year Award for Large Enterprises. So are there lessons that you can summarize from that last question for the audience?
Well, if I need to summarize, I would say the most important thing is a team. You need a good team that is really working together and knows each other very well. And the next thing is, of course, you need a very clear common objective that you're looking for. You need a sense of urgency that this objective is the most important thing to do right now. And of course, you need to be open for other ideas, and you need to be creative to find the best solution. And that, of course, is done only if you listen to the team and if you are really open to all ideas that are coming up.
In today's world, there are so many resources available. So I call that noise, because sometimes it's hard to select which ones are the best ones to use. And it'd be great to model from your experiences. So in your current role, what do you see are your top resources?
Well, my top resources is my management team and as well my boss. We are working very good and very open together. I think it's very important to have such a team and a very good supporting boss on your side. On the other hand, of course, my colleagues from the business areas are very progressive and good resources to find the best solution. And least but not last is my family. So I get a lot of support as well from my wife, but as well from my children. They are right now 21 and 23, and those are the right people as well to speak to get the ideas, what the young generation thinks about mobility, for example, and to use IT in the right manner. So that is a helpful resource as well for myself.
You know, it's remarkable. When I met you, I would never have guessed you have children that are post 20. So you have remarkable genes as well. Maybe that's a resource.
Thank you. Well,
now, as a successful senior technology executive, what are your best leadership lessons that can be used by other executives?
Well, I think it's very important to say it's all about people. It's important as well technology, of course, but technology is not the crucial point. You have to look for the solution that is needed by the people. For example, if you look for a customer, you have to put the customer first and then look what could help the customer, what information does he really need, and how could I give this information on the best way to our customers. The same is internal. If you look at the employees, what kind of information do they need, and not discussing methodology, but looking really for the best and easiest way to bring those information to all the employees within the Audi world. And as well, if you look at the team, of course, it's not about only methodology. You need to find the right way to achieve results and having fun at the same time. So I think this is very important as well, not to be too deep into methodology discussions, but really put the people in the front. This is a very important thing.
Now, here's a question that's not quite I guess I would say it's a little bit different from one of the ones we've asked so far, and it's about computing as a profession, again, from a broader perspective. So do you think just the field of computing should be a recognized profession on par with others like accounting? And, you know, when they have things like demonstrated professional development, adherence to code of ethics, personal responsibility, public accountability, quality assurance, recognized credentials. Do you see that being of some impact or importance in our field?
Yes, I believe it's a very important thing that you asked here, because if you look at the future, the people are more and more depending on good IT solutions. So I think it would be good that the IT is as well have a code of ethics, don't use, for example, or misuse any information or data that it's getting. For example, if you look right now for the bank system, you have this banking secret, and it might be in the future to be necessary that we have all the personal data somewhere in the world, and we need to really be assured that nobody is misusing our personal data. So maybe there should be as well something I call a data secret that is comparable to the banking secret that we have right now.
Yeah, Matthias, you travel extensively, you speak, and you have just a remarkable position. You must come across some interesting stories that are maybe amusing or surprising, unexpected, amazing that you can share.
Yeah, well, if you travel, then you have a lot of interesting situation. For example, I traveled to the U.S. My son had his graduation party at the high school, and he asked me to bring a white shirt with me so he could wear this white shirt on his graduation party. And then there was a big storm all over the U.S., so my first flight was to New York, and then I didn't get any flight to Tennessee, where he was graduating. And so I had to fly through Charleston, and I had to change the airline. So I didn't get my suitcase with the white shirt, and I was thinking what I could do to get a white shirt for my son, because in the U.S. you have totally different sizes, and he wouldn't fit in any shirt in the U.S. But then I learned that, as I heard before, there's no suitcase traveling without any passenger that is belonging to the suitcase. But when I arrived in Tennessee, my suitcase was already there with a white shirt. So this was a very interesting and surprising thing, that the white shirt was right there in Tennessee, and I could take it to my son. And another interesting story I had in Japan. I was invited to a German Oktoberfest, and it was very interesting to see that you can drink wheat beer, German beer, Bavarian beer, with sushi at the same time. That was a very special situation as well. I didn't heard about that before, that you will have an Oktoberfest as well in Japan, but it was a very interesting German society there, and they really had a good party there, and I will never forget this Oktoberfest in Japan.
Now we're down to our last question, and this is where I turn the tables on you, Matthias, and that is, if you were conducting this interview, what kinds of questions would you ask? And then lastly, what would be your answers?
Yeah, maybe the question is, as an IT guy, why do I work for Audi? This is a very special situation, maybe, that an IT guy is working for an automotive company. But the reason is, this is the best combination that you can ever have, to have this technology on the one hand side with all the mobility solutions and the technology of the cars, at the same time as well the IT technology, and combining that to the best solution for our customers. That is so interesting. I never regret to start my career here at Audi. Another thing is, you could ask, where in the world do we as the Audi IT have people working for us? Because, of course, we have the majority here in Germany, maybe 60%. But as well, we have big teams in the U.S. In the Silicon Valley that are working for us. We have the Electronic Research Lab, where we have people located, as well in San Francisco, that are supporting our solution there for the mobility, but as well in China, in India, in Japan, of course, Malaysia, we have IT people all over the world. So if anybody is interested to join us, it is possible to travel within the world to Brazil, Mexico. We are doing a new plant there. So this is really an international family that we're working in. And maybe the last question could be, what car do I drive right now? So right now I'm driving an S5 convertible, and I really like to have the sun on my hat when I'm driving. And in wintertime, I will change again to an SQ5.
Well, that's amazing. I can see on your car choice, the audience will be Envious.
Yeah, well, great cars. I can really give you the impression that those cars are so impressive. We can do a drive together when you're here.
Yeah, that would be a lot of fun for sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, Matthias, I know your schedule is just so demanding because you are this world-ranked top executive, and as I mentioned, early awarded this prestigious award. So thank you for coming in today and sharing so much of your insights and your experience and wisdom with our audience.
Thank you very much, Stephen. It was a pleasure to talk to you. Great.
I'm Stephen Ibaraki, and this concludes our exclusive interview with Matthias Obrick, top international global leader and innovator, CIO of Audi, and winner of the 2015 European Union CIO of the Year Award.